The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of Christ, who was and is to come. Amen. Please be seated. So I'm going to stand here because there's a car parked there and the radiance is more than I can handle. Oh, the night sky. A lot of questions people asked me as I was preparing to head to Santiago about why the Camino? What is that about? And the story behind that is that there were shepherds out in the 9th century, and there was stars that sort of fell into a field, and they were so overcome by this sight, they decided to build a church on the site of this vision, and as they were going about constructing the church, they came upon three caskets that were they found then the bones of St. James, who was the brother of John, one of the disciples. He was actually the first disciple to be martyred, and two of his companions. And the story behind that is that after James was martyred in Jerusalem, he was taken back to the place where he had done his preaching mission and he'd been met with such success and welcome. It sort of makes sense. If you're rejected here, then you don't want to try and bury him. The grave would be desecrated, etc. And so he heads back, and it becomes a place of pilgrimage. So when I'm talking to someone, they said to me, "Let me get this right. You're flying 3,000 miles to walk 500 miles because of what shepherds saw in the 9th century?" And it's like, yeah. So I can sort of understand a little bit better what the wise men were trying to explain when they show up in Herod's court, unannounced, uninvited, and pretty quickly figuring out sort of not all that welcome. They say, well, you know, we've come to pay homage to the new king of the Jews because we've seen this the star. And Herod, who was the king of the Jews, was not excited to hear this story. In fact, it says he was frightened, and then all Jerusalem with him. All Jerusalem becomes frightened because when Herod gets frightened, people die. He killed 46 people in his own family. He killed all of his sons. He killed several of his wives, cousins, etc. So you can sort of imagine that they show up with this great news. They've been traveling. They're almost there. And then it's like, yeah. They also probably didn't get all that warm a welcome because these wise men from the East were likely astrologers from what we know as modern-day Iran. And Judaism, specific prohibitions against astrology. In Deuteronomy 1:19, it says, "You shall not serve the stars." And in fact, if you look at scripture, there are very few references to the stars except for the creation of the stars and this continual idea that the descendants of Abraham will be as numerous as the stars. In this story, there's just a lot going on. The wise men follow the star. They arrive at the home of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And at this point, heaven, the star, stops, and earth are joined, and they are ecstatic. They are overcome with joy at this miracle of event. You know, these men who have tracked the stars and looked for meaning in the stars find earth and heaven joined. And isn't that what the angels promised? And we hear Luke's story, earth and heaven being joined. That story prefigures what's going to happen with Jesus, that the religious and political authorities of his own people are going to reject him. And then Gentiles who are not acceptable, those who are on the fringe, who have the wrong occupation, find something in Jesus. And the journey that they were on not only changes them because of what they've seen, but who they've encountered. Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, made an address to his alma mater, the commencement address in 2002. And in there, he credits his astronomy professor with giving him a new way of seeing not only the stars, but he said, this man was able to see the gifts in every single person. He saw how incredibly special and unique each different person was. And when I go out into the night sky, I am reminded of him. And it becomes his life's work. And the way that he saw the stars and the heavens also changed the way that he saw this earth. I want to read this quote to you. It says, "Our world hangs like a magnificent jewel in the vastness of space. Every one of us is part of that jewel, a facet of that jewel. And from the perspective of infinity, our differences are infinitesimally small. We are all intimately related. May we never even pretend that we are not." That's, you know, that was his world, was the world of make-believe, but never even pretend that we are not all intimately related. So what he saw in this experience was pales in comparison to who he encounters. And this theme, he builds on this as he's going through his life. And one of the things that he did in that commencement address was he said, "I want to give you an invisible gift." And And I'm going to give you that invisible gift today. The invisible gift was the opportunity to think for a minute about all those people who have blessed your lives, those who have loved you into being, those who have shaped your life. So here you go. 1 minute. As you allowed those names to come to mind, those memories to be present, whether those people are near or far or are no longer walking this earth, Rogers went on to say that you are the embodiment of those experiences. You are that invisible made visible, that blessing, that care, concern, support made visible. You carry it in your bodies. And as I reflected on this, I also was thinking about who would be the people that would bring you to mind. You may have some of those names, but I would venture a guess that you don't have all or even nearly most of them. Most of us have very little idea of how we affect and impact the lives of others, unless maybe you're a teacher and a student has come back. I think that's one of the blessings of being a teacher. Students come back and tell you about that. And occasionally it happens. But for most of us, you know, we go on and live, and that means it's so incredibly important that we live our lives intentionally. It drives us, I believe, to prayer, because that's how we can shoulder this massive responsibility, and also to repentance, because we know that we do not only bless people unintentionally, we also injure them. And we need to repent of that, and we need to ask forgiveness, and we need to offer forgiveness for the injuries that we have absorbed from one another. In this Christmas season that we are celebrating, there's been a lot of journeying going on. I journeyed to Oklahoma, and I thank you for that time to see my family and be with them. And I know that there's been journeys of people coming in. And as we celebrated Christmas Eve services, it was incredible to see the numbers of people with family and friends that had come from out of town come to celebrate this gift of the love of God being made visible in Jesus Christ, this gift that God's brings, and as the colic says, you know, that coming, taking on our human nature and imbuing our human nature with that divine nature of God. In this time also, there is an interior journey, I think. Interior journey of forgiveness, interior journey of grieving, interior journey that leads to reconciliation. As we receive more and more the gift, the prayer someone blessed me with years ago, you know, may there be room for Christ to be born anew in you, to allow yourself to be shaped by God. As we do that more and more, then we are then a gift to one another. And just a small way of thinking about that, sometimes people say, oh, you know, yeah, I just didn't make it to church today. You know, well, you know, I'm there most of the time. You never know how important your presence is to someone else. I'm privileged to hear some of those stories when I talk with people about what brought them to All Saints, why they stayed, meaningful things that have happened. They tell me stories, they name names, and often they can repeat exact words from the first time that they ever were here. And who said it? And I know that the person that they're talking about has no memory, in all likelihood, of that particular event. But that was a gift that they gave, and it was received with open arms. And that's what we do for one another in community. We are blessing and shaping and calling, loving into being one another. It's we come to this the end, the close of the Christmas season, and we're on this cusp of the Epiphany, which is the showing forth of God, the sending out of that light. That's our challenge, to take what we've been given, this very precious gift, the joining of earth and heaven, the culmination of so many different journeys, where it's not only what we've seen, but who we have encountered, and then share that, send that, be that, bless others by our presence. May it be so. Amen.